And I want to speak on this thing that is so close to my heart. And it's very simply this thing of intimacy with God. And I remember about 14 years ago, I was wanting more. And I said to Keir Taylor, he's an incredible evangelist and he operates in signs and wonders. And I said to him, I want to grow in the prophetic and I want to know more and I want to go deeper. Other than this precious word, what would you encourage me to read and to dig deeper into? And he said, read Bill Johnson. And I know that there have been many things said against Bethel, and you need to work it out for yourself, but I would encourage you to read the books before you make an opinion or take a judgment. But I read this, one of the first books that I read was Dreaming with God. And I don't know if anyone's got my copy, but if you do, please return it, because I would love to have it back. I don't know where it is, but I wrote at the front of my Bible some key verses that have stuck with me. And he says this in this book, intimacy with God is my life source. Before God, I am an intimate. Royalty is my identity. Before the powers of hell, I'm a ruler with no tolerance for their influence. Servanthood is my assignment. Before people, I'm a servant. So I want to go through that. Intimacy with God is my life source. So before God, I'm an intimate. That's the starting point. That's the beginning. Remember, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author and he is the perfecter of our faith. So it begins with this place of intimacy. And if we are not in this place of intimacy, nothing else can truly have purpose and meaning. So that's the starting point. But my identity is one of, I'm a daughter, Janine, of the living God. I am mommy's, daddy's favorite. I'm a daughter of the living God. I am royalty. And in that, I can stand before the powers of hell. I can stand before the demonic and declare to them, you will have no influence over my area, my metron, my area of influence. And then before people, I'm a servant. That's my assignment. But today, I want to focus on this thing of intimacy, because that's the beginning. So the question is, well, why do I need to be intimate with God? Why do I need to walk with him? Why do I need to have relationship with him? And I want to give you a phrase that I've been just working on for the past couple of weeks. It's this: without intimacy, there can be no conception. So we understand that biological concept of a man and a woman, a husband and wife. If there's no intimacy, there can be no conception. And if there's no conception, there can be no birthing. And there can be no growing. And there can be no maturing. And there can be no fruitfulness. So intimacy is the starting point. It's essential. If we do not have intimacy with the Father, nothing else will happen. So the question that we have to ask ourselves as believers is, are we satisfied with this place where nothing is birthed? Are we satisfied with barrenness? Because that is the result or the consequence of no intimacy. There will be barrenness. So do I want to remain a barren Christian? Food for thought. And remember that without intimacy, there can be no maturity. No moving into the deeper truths of God. Content to remain that baby, that spiritually immature baby. Baby in Christ. It's fine. You can do that. I know. I want more. I want more. So, second question. Who initiates the intimacy? Hello, Cynthia. So good to have you with us. Who initiates the intimacy? The author and the perfecter of our faith. The Father who chose to walk in the garden and called out to his son and his daughter and said, "Where are you?" My Jesus who knocks at the door and says, "Let me in." He's the one that initiates. He prepares a table for us to feast at in the presence of my enemies. He's the initiator. And all he requires from us is a response. Can you see that beautiful picture of him wooing us, calling to us, gently leading us and guiding us? And all we have to do is surrender, is to yield to him. It grieves my spirit when people say to me that they're spiritually dry. Because the only reason why you're spiritually dry is because you have chosen it. And because you have chosen to not respond to the Father's love and to the Father's touch. It was a beautiful word that Gerard brought this morning about the warmth of God and how we're drawn to the warmth of God. That sun is what fills us. It's what gives us life. It creates that safe place. We need to be drawn into his presence. So what are some of the barriers to intimacy? What are some of the things that keep us from drawing close to him? The first one, which is the one that I so often speak about, it's that massive barrier of offense and unforgiveness. I was listening to a prophet from the UK, and he was talking about the fact that in his garden he had this tree. And it wasn't a very big tree. And it should have been really easy to have pulled that tree out because the roots were not deep. And yet it didn't matter how deep they dug and how hard they pulled on that tree. They could not get it out. And what they came to realize is that the roots of the tree had so wrapped themselves around a radiator of a car. So clearly there'd been some backfill, you know, when they first built the house, and they just put a whole lot of rubbish underground. And that tree, the roots of the tree, had just wrapped itself around that radiator. And so what they realized is only once they had cut the roots of that tree off from the radiator, it was then that they could pull the tree out. And so I want to put a challenge out there. Some of you are stuck. Some of you have allowed the roots of your spirit to be wrapped around some massive rock or radiator of offense and unforgiveness. And you're going to hold on to that thing no matter what. You can't get free. You're stuck. I want to I want to bring a word that I believe is for someone sitting here where you are so offended. You live in a constant place of offense with your spouse. Nothing that he or she does is good enough. You are stuck in a place of self-righteousness, and you stand in the position of judge. You are harboring bitterness and unforgiveness, and you feel that you have the right to hold on to it. But I want you to know that only when you come to that place of truth, where you recognize this thing for what it is, where you allow yourself to step into the light of His truth, and you allow that spirit of deception to be broken off you, will you come to a place where you will say, Jesus, I want you to cut this thing off. I no longer want to be wrapped around it, this right to be offended. And when you repent, and when you remove that rock, and you start to fill it with His love and His kindness and His acceptance and His understanding, that is where you will come into a place where you will not only have love and intimacy with your husband, but you will have it again with your Heavenly Father. And I sense that this can even be for a relationship in your past. It's not necessarily for right now. Be encouraged by that. Know that you don't have to hold on to that thing forever. And the only place of freedom is when you say, I want to be cut off from that. I will no longer hold on to it. So another area, another barrier to intimacy is this thing of distractions. You remember that parable of the farmer who would scatter the seed. We from Sunday school remember that story really well. It's in Luke chapter 8 verse 14. And it says this: the seeds that fell amongst the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. So there's some key words there. The seeds fall amongst thorns, weeds. And those weeds crowd out everything else. They're distractions. They're things that become bigger than God. It's what Millen's been speaking about this thing of idolatry. What are those distractions? What are those idols in your life where you just can't grow into maturity? You stay that baby Christian. It's called weak Christianity. What are some of those thorns and weeds in our lives? It speaks in the scripture about the pleasures of life, entertainment. This needs to be entertained. I come to church because I want to be entertained. I sit in front of this thing, and I want to be entertained. I just sit there and I scroll and I scroll and I scroll, and it can just be an hour or two and I'm just wasting time, but this, it's wonderful entertainment, and it becomes my focus. It can become an obsession, and it replaces God and intimacy. When we pick up this is what truly brings life. We've got no time for His presence, and we've got no time for His word. A A third point, laziness. Apathy. Hebrews 5 verse 11. If you want to turn there, you can look at it, but it's before the writer of Hebrews speaks in verse 11, he gives this beautiful picture of how Jesus is our perfect high priest, how he's the source and the author of our salvation. And this, the writer sets this up and shows something of the greatness of our God. But then he says this in verse 11. There is so much more that we would like to say about this. But it is difficult to explain. This is the word of God. Okay, this isn't me speaking. This is the word of God. It's so difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. Sure, that's quite a statement. You have been believers so long. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others, but instead you need someone to teach you again and again and again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk, and you cannot eat solid food. This packs a punch. This is hard to read. Is that me, Father? For someone who lives on milk is still an infant who doesn't know how to do what is right. But solid food is for the mature. I want that solid food, Father. Who, because of practice, have their senses trained to distinguish between good and evil, right and wrong. I want to read that last verse because it's incredibly powerful. Solid food is for the mature. Solid food is for the mature. Who, because of practice, they've practiced. They work at it. They devour it. They are hungry for it. Because of practice, they have their senses trained. We have spiritual senses, spiritual ears, spiritual eyes. And we allow God to train our senses so that we can distinguish, we can discern what is good and what is evil. What is right and what is wrong. If you want to be an intimate, if you want to have relationship with him, you have to put in some work, some hard work. I have a habit, it's a good habit, and it's called going to gym. So I'll leave Midrand, and by the time I get through to Hearties, it's between 6 and 6:30 at night. But I go straight to that gym because I know that my body needs it. I know that my spirit needs it. But you know, I could arrive at that gym and then do what some people do. I watch them. It's so funny. I just have this silent giggle. Because they sit on that, it's usually the cycling machine. And their friend is sitting next to them or standing next to them or maybe doing a little bit of cycling, but they're just there to talk. They're just to catch up. And there's no hard work happening. There is no sweat. There is nothing. It's just a gentle stroll. And I want to encourage you. I know that if I truly want to see something change in my physical body, I've got to sweat. I've got to do that cardio. I've got to get on that treadmill. I've got to get on that bicycle machine. I've got to really work at it. I do those steps. I then do some weights. I do some resistance, you know, of my body to the ground or whatever it is. And then I do those stretches. but I exert myself. I work hard at it. And in the same way, if you want to grow spiritual muscles, if you want to come into a place of being truly intimate with the Father, it means that you have to give something to it. You have to work at it. I've had people that have come to the front and they've asked for prayer. And they say that they have a problem with an addiction. And I say to them, I can pray for you, but unless you're willing to do the hard work, I can't just wave a magic wand and suddenly it's all just going to come right. That addiction that you have with pornography or with gambling or with alcohol or with food, whatever that addiction is, if you don't make right choices and choose to follow a certain path, there is nothing that I can do, and there is nothing that the Father can do, because He requires your partnership. He requires your cooperation. Help us, Father. Do you know that He gives us the gift of His Word? And He gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And He says, here, Mariki, here's this gift. Here's my word. Now, I've got to do the hard work. For me, it's not hard work to open up this. What a joy. But we've got to open it up. And we've got to grow in it, grow in our knowledge of it. Another barrier, the fourth one, is that we're hard of hearing. We've got a lot of wax in our ears. We just cannot hear the voice of God because there's so much thick, deep wax that we cannot hear His voice. The ground of our hearts is so hard that when the word comes, that beautiful rain of the Holy Spirit, and it just rains upon people, rains upon us, you can see the people that are hard of heart, and you can see the ones that are receptive. Because the hard of heart, literally it flows and then it flows off. It doesn't penetrate. There's no penetration. There's nothing. Because the heart is so hard. Because I am so righteous, because I know it all, and I am incapable of saying, I am sorry. Oh, Jesus, help us. The only way for that wax to be removed from our ears, I don't know if you've ever had that. It's not nice. Michelle knows this. You've got to allow that syringe to come and just deal with that stuff that's in there. Wash it out. The Word of God washes out the wax. It washes out all of the nonsense. I want to read to you from Luke 8, verse 18. Pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. So to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, that means that there's a spiritual listening that happens. Those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. What a powerful word. Luke 14, verse 35 says this, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. It's not just about hearing. There are those that will sit here and they will hear, but their spirits won't understand. That is Luke 14, verse 35. I'm listening. that I'm not understanding. The fifth point, and I really want to emphasize this, the barrier to intimacy is shame. In that garden, Adam and Eve hid from his presence because they were ashamed. And understand that shame will keep you from the presence of God. But is it our God and our Father who shames us? Who is it? The enemy. And ourselves. I think sometimes, you're right, Carol, sometimes we are so hard on ourselves that we shame ourselves. I know I do that often. And what is so important is that we can have moments of shame, but we can't camp there. We need to take that shame, that thing, that harsh word that I've just spoken over my daughter. Oh, my baby, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was angry. That harsh word that we have for our spouse. Sure, not nice. I'm sorry. We quickly say sorry. We quickly repent. We lay it before our Father, and then we get up off of the ground, and we stand up with our heads held high, and we say, thank you, Jesus, that I can come into your presence, into your very throne as an intimate. Nothing separates me from your presence. Is there a scripture? No. So the keys to intimacy, how are we doing? Only quarter two, it's good. We're doing good. The keys to intimacy. So we focused on the negative. Let's focus on the positive. What are some of those things that will open up that door to relationship with our God? The first one, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the gateway to intimacy. A revelation of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished is the first step. It's the gateway. When I come to him and I can acknowledge what he has done, knowing that there is nothing that I can do to get that salvation. Nothing. He's done it all. He's paid the ultimate price. He's made that sacrifice on my behalf. When I recognize that, that is the gateway to intimacy. Because then it's not about my works, it's about him. And so it's the first step. It's what we call justification. Yes, there's then that process of sanctification, of working it out with fear and trembling. And there is something of the works, reading his word, wanting to be in his presence. But it starts at that gateway of the gospel, the good news. That's what the gospel is, the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Hebrews 4 verse 14 says this, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, he's that great high priest, let us hold firmly to what we believe. We've got to hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings that we do. What an incredible priest. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy and we will find his grace. What a God. So that's the first point. A key to intimacy is recognizing that the good news of Jesus Christ is my gateway, is my first step. The second is that we need to be like a child. We need to come before him with the heart of a child. So Luke 18, verse 16. You can hear that there's a lot of scriptures from the book of Luke. I've just been working through it for the last, 2 months. So many of my scriptures come from that. But it says, it's actually Jesus that says this, Luke 18, verse 16. For the kingdom of God belongs to those that are like children. I tell you the truth, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you will never enter it. That's a key point there. I can't enter into the kingdom of God. I can't come into that beautiful throne room and feel his presence without an understanding that I need to be like a child. So what are the qualities of a child? What strikes you about children? They believe. They are so trusting. You don't have to explain yourselves. They just believe. There's that beautiful thing of faith and of trust. Oh, Jesus, may I trust you. May I believe you. May I take your word as it is in all of its beauty and its majesty. And it's sometimes it's just so confusing and I don't understand things. But Jesus, I'm going to take it because it's mine. It's what you've revealed to me and I'm going to receive it like a child. Innocence, purity, one of my favorite scriptures. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's the cry of my heart. Jesus, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. Blessed are the pure in heart, those that are like children. What are some of the other qualities? There's obedience, generally. But generally, you can say to a child, I need you to do this now. And there's an obedience. Teenagers, not so much. But children, there's a greater sense of obedience. Abandonment, almost like a foolishness, a silliness, a craziness, an ability to just laugh. Hey, the laughter of a baby. Have you seen some of those videos where there's just this beautiful laughter? Jesus, I want more of that, where I would just be laughing in your presence, where I would be foolish in your presence, where I would just, there would be such abandonment because, Jesus, you have done it all. I want to be like that child. The third key is that it is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It can happen throughout the busyness of the day. It doesn't need to be reserved for specific places or moments. It can happen throughout the day. It's a state of being. He is your life source. It's not about a performance. So, the last point is simply this. What does this thing of being an intimate, of walking with God, what does it actually look like? What does it actually look like? It can look like many different things. There can be those intense Holy Spirit moments where you truly feel as if you are standing on holy ground and you literally take off your shoes because you are just in the presence of the Father. And there are downloads from heaven. There is just a sense of knowing what the Father is saying. And I pray for those moments more and more, that they would become something that would just be there all the time. But it can look like that. Deep times of intercession. Deep times of just connecting with the Father in an incredible way. But it can also simply be a drinking in of his word. So often when I sit before my Father, and I do take time, I want to encourage you. If you think that being intimate with your Father is just something that will be reserved for when you drive your car or when you are out in nature, understand that's just a part of it. If you are not drinking in his word, where you sitting with him and you asking him, Father God, reveal, speak to me. I believe in the importance of systematically working through the word of God, not where it's a chore. But as I've told you, I've been working through the book of Luke. I'm now in the book of Acts. But I can literally sit on a scripture for a day or two and just meditate on it. Or I can read a whole lot of it. But either way, I'm meditating on his word and I'm systematically working through it. I would encourage you, if you are a baby Christian, it's okay to work with one of the daily reads. It's great. But if you want to go deeper in God, you need to be systematically working through a book. Who wrote this book? Why was it written? To whom was it written? What is the context of this book? Understand it. Study it. Go deeper. It's key to intimacy with him. And then, as I've said to you already, there are moments throughout the day of intimacy where there's laughter. Sometimes I'll make a mistake and I do something really stupid and I say, oh Jesus, what am I doing? Help me, Father. Help me through this. There can be moments of deep repentance. Jesus, I'm so not on the right path with this thing. There is this repetitive habit in my life. There is this thing that I'm not dealing with. Help me. Help me, Jesus. There's that constant discussion with him as you're driving that car, as you are walking in his creation, as you see that beautiful eagle that flies above you. Sometimes I'm amazed at the fact that people will just see an eagle, but they don't see his creation. They'll look at that beautiful little bug. Lindsay takes the most beautiful photos, but they don't stop to look at the magnificence of that little tiny creature. That magnificent God that has created that. Take time to just stop and to look at his creation. And even in the really mundane, God is there. You know, just yesterday, my daily task is picking up the dog doo-doo. It's not a nice task, but I'm a bit obsessed about having a lawn that looks beautiful and a garden that you go out there and you smell his creation. You don't smell that smell. And so every day I'm out there and I'm picking up that stuff. But even in those moments, I'm speaking to my Father. Yesterday I was picking up that stuff, but I was interceding. There was somebody that I was interceding for. And so I'm doing the mundane, but I'm interceding. And I'm saying, Jesus, help that person through this thing. The mundane for you could be washing those dishes, sweeping that house, at that job, every day. But in the mundane, he is there. Take those moments. Take those moments. And so I want to give us opportunity to respond to this. I want to read you this song that was written by Keith Green. He was an incredible intimate. He walked with God. His life was, he was really young when he died. But when he lived, he lived. And he lived well. And he lived to the glory of God. And he wrote these these words, and it is a song that I sing almost every day, simply because it's such a simple song. But it's a song that expresses something of my heart for my God, and it says this. And if the Peter, if you want to come up, I don't know how that will all work, but I want to give us an opportunity to respond to him, because I don't want us to walk away from this time and not have an opportunity to respond. Because this is the thing, is that so often we just do the same old, and we never take time to just go, Father, I need to do a bit of an audit. Where am I at? I want to bring this thing before you, and I want to acknowledge that I need to come into a deeper place with you. So the words of the song, O Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. O Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. Incredible song. And we're going to sing it. We're going to stand. And if you want to respond to this word, and you that can look different for different people. It might be a thing where you want to come to the front and you want someone to pray for you because you want to take stock and you want to repent and you want to say, Jesus, I bring this thing before you. I want to be an intimate with you. It might be simply where you're at. You just want to raise your hands. Maybe it's something that you've never done before. Some of us are more conservative. My husband is a conservative. So when he raises his hands, it means a lot. That might just be where you're at. I want to raise my hands and worship to my King. I want to kneel before him. Whatever it is, just respond to him. Let's respond to him.
Once burned bright and clear. replace the lamb of my first love that burns with holy fear. One last time, oh Lord, you're beautiful. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Oh,
We thank you for your beauty. We thank you for your glorious presence. We honor you, Father, that there are times that we can just spend in your presence. Thank you, Father, that we are allowed to be intimate with you, to draw near to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you opened that door for us. We honor you and we glorify you, Abba Father. Father, I pray that each and every one that as we leave this building this morning, Father God, that we will go and we will sit and meditate on this word. And that we will spend time with you, Father, on how it is that each and every one of us must draw near. Father, I pray. And my request this morning is that no one will leave this building the same, stuck in an old way. And I pray, Abba Father, that through this word, that you will be glorified every single day going forward. Father, I pray that this congregation will grow stronger because of this word. And because each and every one will take the time to draw near and to step into intimacy with you and your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, for revelation in your word. That it'll not just be words read, Father God, but that it'll become life. And Father, that every person will grow to maturity because of it, in Jesus' name. We honor you, Abba Father. Amen. Folks, I want to ask that you won't run away, but please join us for a coffee. And for those of you that are new, that's just visited or just joined us recently, please spend time with us. Get to know us and let us get to know you. It'll really be a pleasure to have that time with you. Thank you.